are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
It's so good to be here, isn't it? Well, we're starting a new sermon series called Rekindle the Fire, the Altar Fire. And today I want to minister to you out of the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 24. And I want to talk to you about building our spiritual altar. Building our spiritual altar. You know, in every move of God that I've read in the Old Testament scriptures, I realized that at the center of every revival that took place, there was an altar that was built before the Lord. I'm talking about Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There was always something happening when the Lord came and something shifted in the spiritual atmosphere and the people were either delivered, they were set free, they repented, they came back into right relationship, they were commemorating God providing something for them spiritually, and they built an altar in that place. Each altar built had a fire burning, which represented the people's relationship with God. And we're in a day where we need to deepen our personal relationship with God. We're in a day where there is oppression. These are days of oppression. And we need a new move of God in this generation. And we need a personal, intimate relationship with God. The reason God commanded altars to be built was to establish a meeting place so that he could enjoy a personal relationship with his people. Wherever God's presence is, something happens. When he comes and he moves, he comes and he makes a statement. Miracles happen. People are healed. People are set free. People are delivered from addictions. Marriages are healed. People who were far from Christ come back to Christ. People repent of their sin and get right with Jesus. People find deliverance from things that were holding them back. Places of darkness. Places where there were strongholds. Places where there were bondage. When there is the presence of God and the Holy Spirit is welcome, something miraculous always can take place. Amen? Did you hear what I said? Always. And you're like, well, we don't always see it. Open your eyes. It's probably happening. Amen? The fire of God is a sign of spiritual renewal, consecration, and empowerment. I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit's power every day. Not just on Sunday when I'm preaching, not when I feel that I'm on top of the world. I need the power of God to live out my faith, to live righteously, to live purely, to live as if I'm a Christian. Some people even look at me and go, "He's a pastor? He's a Christian?" You guys say, "Yeah, you're our pastor. You better shape up." Right? But God is saying, it's my power that sustains you. It's not by your might. It's not by your power. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that allows us to live righteously. Amen? If you think you're doing it alone, you better take a chill pill because it ain't happening. You're doing it because God makes it happen every day. Today, when we refer to an altar, we're talking about the spiritual implications of the altar in our daily lives. And in the book of Judges, every time Israel had disobeyed the Lord, they neglected the altar of God. And they let the fire go out. I don't want the fire to go out in my everyday. And I don't want the fire just to be lit when I'm attending a service. Amen? or when I have a chance to worship in service. I want to cultivate that fire. I want to make sure that fire's lit. I want to make sure that I'm in a place with the Lord that when He comes to me, that fire is stoked, man. That's what I want. How about you? And here we are, Gideon, in Judges chapter 6. He lived in an oppressive time, and Israel was not prospering. The Midianites would invade the land and ruin their harvest every 7 years. Now, just imagine this. How many of you like to plant flowers? Put up your hand. You like to plant flowers. Great. You like to plant flowers? I'm going to invite you to come and plant them at my house, okay? I like that. How many of you like to plant vegetable gardens? Yeah. So here you are. That would be like you have a beautiful garden, nice vegetable garden, you have beautiful plants out in your flower gardens, and two of your next door neighbors come over, and they, every year that you plant them, they take them and make bouquets and sell them at the auction. Or they give all your food away. That's what was happening in Gideon's day. For 7 years, they would plant everything, they would cultivate everything, they would water it, and then the Midianites would come with all their camels, so many camels that the camels trampled all their harvest. Then they would take all their animals as well. This went on for 7 years. And Gideon said, enough is enough. This is going to stop. He didn't know how it was going to stop, when it was going to stop, and who was going to help him, but he knew it had to stop. And so here he is, and he's crying out to the Lord, and he led Israel into battle, and they overturned the oppression of the Midianites. We witness that as Gideon built an altar to the Lord, God did something. If you take time to build the altar in your heart, you can be sure of this, folks, that God will give you more of His power, He will give you more of His courage, He will transform your very being, He will allow you to grow and bless you in guidance and protection and provision and wisdom and knowledge and the things of His heart. That's what He loves to do. The altar was a place for Gideon to enhance his spiritual growth. And we are in the days, folks, where this generation, we need Gideons. We need more Gideons to rise up and risk facing the various causes of oppression within this city, within this state, within this nation, and the nations abroad. God is looking for a Gideon, and that Gideon just might be you. Everybody, when I look at them like that, they all go like this. They look away. Pastor James, you want to be a Gideon? You be a Gideon. You can be a Gideon, because I ain't going to be a Gideon. I can hear you all in your minds. No. Bob? Hi. Yeah, you can start laughing. He wants you to be a Gideon. Joyce, you back there? Oh, hi. He wants you to be a Gideon. He loves Gideons. Oh, Quincy, you thought you'd get away with it because you're a guest. He wants you to be a Gideon. Amen? He loves Gideons. Go with me to chapter 6 in Judges, and we'll read verses 11 down to 24. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Bezerite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Where are all His wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of the Midians. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. He's a guy, he's pretty gutsy, isn't he? Hey, yo, Lord, give me a sign. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered to him under the oak. The angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was an angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, oh, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So when you look at those various verses, I see that we want to build our spiritual altars to inhabit the spiritual fire of God's revival. Let me just repeat that. We want to build our spiritual altar to inhabit the spiritual fire of God's revival. Well, how do we do this? Well, how do we do what Gideon was able to do? Well, I want to give you three things that you can do to actually build spiritual fire that represents God's revival. And the first thing that you can do is found in verses 11 to 13, and that is this: experience a divine encounter with God. Who would have picked Gideon to be the deliverer of Israel? Well, certainly not Gideon himself. He was shocked when the angel called him a mighty man of valor. He didn't have that vision of himself. He didn't see himself that way. The angel approaches him with great respect and assures him that the presence of God is going to be with him. The angel inspires him with the necessary qualifications to assure him of his success. God's going to grant you the power. God's going to grant you the wisdom. God's going to give you favor. God's going to make you strong and courageous to overcome your fear. And you're going to be able to conquer the Midianites. So God points to his potential as a mighty deliverer. And while the angel of the Lord assures him of God's presence, Gideon felt that the Lord had forsaken the Israelites in view of their present circumstances. You see, when we are being oppressed, when things aren't going our way, when God's not really speaking on our behalf in the time we want him to speak and how we want him to speak, and to speak into existence the things we need him to speak into existence, we start blaming God. We start pointing our little finger. Some of our fingers are chubbier than each other's, but we start pointing our little fingers and we let God know that he's not doing it according to how we need it done, right? That's what we do. It's our natural human instinct to blame. So here he's blaming God for the 7 years that all their harvests have been destroyed. 7 years where all their livestock have been taken away. And now they're in famine and they're homeless. You're like, no, they're not. Yes, they are. They're homeless. They're living up in the mountains and they're living in caves and huts. They're not living in their homes where they were asked to live because in fear they've taken off to the mountains. And so they're living in oppression. And so anytime we're being oppressed, it's easy to blame God. But what you might not know, but if you read the rest of the chapter, first of all, they were told by God when they moved amongst the Amorites and the Amalekites that they were not to actually worship any of the foreign gods that were in the land. And we know that all of Israel for 7 years had been worshiping Baal. And they're not only worshiping Baal, but the Asherah pole, they're worshiping that as well, which is a goddess. And so, and we know that Gideon, he understands oppression because he's living amongst oppression because he's chosen to serve the Lord God Almighty. But his father, Joash, has his own altar of Baal. And so here he is, and he's like, why are we in this predicament? Well, let's figure it out. They're disobeying God. They're rebelling against God. They're worshiping other gods. There was this professor from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, and he was preaching in Nevada. And normally this professor, he was a little reserved and timid, but his whole heart was in this sermon. He was on fire for God, and he was calling people out and calling them to a place of total surrender and repentance. And he was preaching his sermon, and he was coming to the conclusion of his message, and he told the people they had to get their hearts right with God. And at the end of his message, he declared, "You need to repent and turn from your sin. So Buster, if you are here and your heart is not right, you need to come down to the altar right now." And the invitation was given, and the professor joined the pastor of the church at the altar. And before the invitation ended, there was this young boy, a wee little lad. He came to the altar, and he looked in terror directly at the professor. And he said, "My name is Buster, and I want to get right with God." And there are some busters out there today. And you need to get right with God. And God is saying that to Gideon. I want you to experience me in this encounter that I'm having with you. And I love what Chuck Pierce said. He said, "The altar of God is a place of moment by moment surrender of one's will in order to encounter God." If we're going to encounter God this summer, then we have to yield moment by moment to God. You see, you can't just have events. Just because joy holds events doesn't mean that God is on the move. It means we're busy holding events. But it's when we get our hearts right. It's when we get our relations right. It's when we look up and worship God and get our lives right. It's when we do those things and we adjust the fire in our own heart and the altar that we are building within our own lives, when those things are right with God, then God will move in a mighty way. You know, when we hold Revive, I don't know how many people are coming. When we hold our VBS, we don't know how many kids are coming. When we do Summer of Kindness, we don't know what the youth are going to do and who they're going to serve this summer. When we open the Hope Shop, we don't know how many people are going to come through the doors. We don't know how much bread and veggies we're going to get from wherever. We don't know, but what we're called to do is obey God and do what God's asking us to do. And to make sure that our hearts and our spirits and our lives best represent Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And that's what God was encouraging Gideon to do. Experience a divine appointment with me. We will build our spiritual altars to inhabit the spiritual fire of God's revival when we exchange our perspective for God's perspective. Oh, I know you're all intelligent. I know you all have your opinions. I've heard them many times. I've heard them. But God's perspective on things may be a lot more different than yours. And we have our perspective of how we think God should move, what we think God should be doing, how we think he should be doing. And when he doesn't, we sign off. We're like, that's enough. But Gideon, here he is. He was not a man who had strong faith. He didn't have great courage. And God was so patient with him. And he worked with him. He worked so patiently with him. He's giving him a new, what? Commission in verses 13 to 19. If you read verses 13 to 19, he's giving him a new commission. And all Gideon is doing is giving him excuses and reasons why God shouldn't be telling what he should be doing. We see here, but sir, if God is, where are all the wonders? Did not God? And the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. But Lord, do you know God has heard enough buts? He's heard enough buts. And he's saying, enough. I don't need to hear your reasons and excuses. I'm having a personal encounter with you, and I'm asking you to change your perspective on what I can do in your life. I'm not asking you if you're this, you're this, or that. I'm saying, are you willing to be this, this, or that? Are you listening? I'm not speaking to the choir, right? He wants us to understand that today. He is so ready for us to exchange our perspective. Not only did Gideon view himself as weak and insignificant, he also viewed God as distrusting. He thought that for 7 years, everybody had been crying out, God didn't answer, so God's not worthy to be trusted. And the angel realigns Gideon's perspective by reminding him of the promises of God that God would be with him. And even says, the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, the Lord is with you. What does he say after that? Mighty warrior. He's anything but acting like a mighty warrior right now. You know, I feel like Gideon so many times. Where God comes and visits me, he's changing my perspective, and I'm giving him all the reasons why he shouldn't be using me. Don't do that to God. Let him use you. He says, the angel of the Lord even says to him, he says in verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and what? Save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? That word save is so important. That word save is really a beautiful picture of Christ. It's a foreshadow of Christ's salvation, by the way. That's what that word represents in Hebrew. And it's talking about freeing, rescuing, providing, protecting. It's really talking about to us that saving is really saying, I'm preserving this generation. I'm keeping, and I'm going to avenge the evil one. I'm going to avenge the Midianites, and I'm going to wipe them out, and I'm going to help you. What did he say? He shall save. And when Jesus came to you, he said, I will save. Do you know that he has come to the Goodman area, the Bay and Goodman area, over the last 30 years of Joy Community Church? Can I tell you, he has declared, I shall save. I shall save. And I will save. And I will bring into the fold those that are close to my heart. People that you would have actually written off, I'm going to save. I'm going to save the vilest of person that you will know that I am powerful to save. And I can save when I want, who I want, how I want, and where I want. And I will save. Amen? Amen. That's what he's saying to Joy Community Church. It's not up to you who I save. I remember when I was a young man and I came home from my first year of Bible college at Christmas time to my home church. And my pastor asked me to get up and have a word of encouragement. Don't give a Bible student the first year the microphone. They're dangerous. So I got up and I shared. And he just kept going like this. Keep going. Keep going, son. And I did. And the Spirit of the Lord moved in that place. After service, this elderly woman was in tears. She said, James, I am so glad that I'm not in charge of who was to get saved. Because if it was my choice, you would never have gotten saved. I am so glad you got saved. And it wasn't up to me. She just crying. And I said, well, why didn't you think I was not going to get saved? Because she said, you were one of the most prideful, arrogant young men I had ever met. I'm so glad that you're not in charge of who gets saved. Amen? I like what Warren Wiersbe says. He said, God in his mercy doesn't give us what we do deserve, and in his grace he gives us what we don't deserve. Amen? We will build our spiritual altars to inhabit the spiritual fire of God's revival when we exercise new levels of faith. New levels of faith. Exercising new levels of faith. And we see that in verses 20 to 24, that Gideon is called to exercise new levels of faith. He's weak in spirit. He lacks courage. He lacks faith. But God's saying, you're a mighty valor man. Stand up. Go tear down the altars of Baal and declare that God Almighty is in your midst. That's what he's asking him to do. There was this man, and he got lost in the desert. After wandering around for a long, long time, his throat became very dry. And about that time, he saw this little shack in the distance. He made his way over to the shack and found there was a water pump there with a small jug of water and a note. Somebody had left a note. And the note read this, pour all the water into the top of the pump to prime it. If you do this, you will get all the water you need. Now the man had a choice to make. If he trusted the note and poured the water in it and it worked, he would have all the water he needed. But if it didn't work, he would still be thirsty and he might die. Or he could choose to drink the water in the jug and get immediate satisfaction, but it might not be enough and he still had an opportunity to die. So after thinking it over, the man decided to risk it all. He poured the entire jug into the pump, and he began to work the handle. At first, nothing happened, and he got a little scared, but he kept going, and water started to come out. Oh, he was so excited. So much water came out that he drank all that he wanted. He even took a shower, filled all the containers he could find. Because he was willing to give up a momentary satisfaction, he got all the water he needed. And now the note also said, after you have finished, please refill the jug for the next traveler. The man refilled the jug and added to the note, please prime the pump. Believe me, it works. And I want to tell you today, prime the pump. Prime the pump of Jesus Christ. Prime the pump of the Holy Spirit. Prime the pump of your potential because it works. We are in an hour where revival fire needs to come. And God is looking for people who will prime the pump, who will believe in faith that when they prime that pump, it's going to move, and water's going to flow, and living water is going to flood through the whole community. watching over people and setting them free and delivering them in Jesus' mighty name. God's calling Joy Community Church to rise in this hour and prime that pump and let the living water of Jesus flow out from our hearts and from us as a community of believers. Amen? I want to hear a little noise in the house. We have the same choice to make. Do we hold on to what we have because we don't believe there are better things in store for us? Do we settle for the immediate satisfaction? Oh, I know you've all been saved for a long time. Oh, I know you've had movements of God. Oh, I know God used you in the past. But God is asking you to come out from hiding, just like he's asking Gideon. Gideon was in a wine press threshing wheat when he should have been out on the threshing floor threshing wheat. Why was he doing that? He was afraid of the Midianites. And we have if we go out into the community, somebody might not like us. Somebody might say something mean to us. Somebody could do something to us. We have an almighty God who's going to watch over us. Amen? We have a choice to make. Or do we trust in God and give up all that we have to get what God has promised us as individual people? God was giving Gideon a fresh opportunity to prime the pump so he could exercise a new level of faith. And that's my challenge today. I am asking you today to prime the pump so that you exercise a new level of faith. You see, he went in. He said, just hold on a second. I need to go in. I want to prepare an offering, a sacrifice. And God's like, all right, you go ahead, you go in. He goes in, and he goes and gets some meat, and he goes in and gets some broth, and he goes in. And he didn't even know what he was going to do with this. And he made unleavened bread, and he brings it out to God Almighty himself. And God doesn't say, oh, that's not enough. No, God says, okay, that's what you're going to do. Just bring what you have. Bring what you have. He went into his house and he brought what he had, but he brought something. And then he placed it there. Don't tell God what to do with your offering. He didn't even know that the angel was going to hit that with the staff and boom, bada bing, bada boom, fire. He didn't know that, right? And some of us are missing the bada bing, bada boom of the fire. You see, we bring out, we come to church. We serve in the places we serve, and we tell God what we think God should be doing in those places. And God's like, no. I didn't tell you it. Just, I'm telling you. Put it on the rock. You see, when we place our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ, that's the safest place to be. And when we let God put his hand to what we've offered and multiply it or consume it, that's his decision. God is saying to us today, I hear him loud and clear. I'm about to break forth in a new way in this place. And there are some of you who like to control everything you do. Where you go, when you go, how you go, what you do, what's supposed to happen when you do it. And God's saying, get ready, because when I do something, it's going to look a lot different to you. Put it on the rock of Jesus Christ. And let my fire consume that. Let my presence come. And so God had to give Gideon that message of peace to prepare him to fight the war. That's why he gave him the message of peace. And he goes and builds an altar and commemorates it. And he actually calls it, the Lord is peace. Why? Because that internal fighting is over. That battle of his own perspective of who he is finished. And that encounter that he had with God is now motivating him to fulfill his great commission. How about you? How about you today? Are you willing to prime the pump in your life for Jesus? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. What an exciting day we're in, Lord. I like what Matthew Henry said. If we truly want the fire of lasting revival, we must put the cross of Christ at the entrance of every spiritual undertaking. We bow our hearts before the cross of Christ today, and we realize that you're calling us to build these altars before you that will inhabit spiritual fire of your revival. We pray, Father, that you would come in the most powerful way to touch our lives today, to affirm the promises that you've made to us about what you want to do through us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're asking us to build an altar, a spiritual altar before you, that you may touch it with the fire of God this season. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. Amen? Well, we're going to have a time of ministry up here at the altar. Have a wonderful week serving the Lord. And remember this, God wants to release spiritual fire, God's revival in your life. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.